Yes? Okay, we got it. We got it. Hey, I want to say thank you, first of all, just thank you for being here. And on a Saturday morning, also, to take that time out of your schedule to be here. Hope last night, just different things were said by Pastor, myself, and then this morning by my wife and so forth. We don't come here to say, okay, what's going to happen? We really do want to invest. And I heard the statement, you don't have to make all the mistakes yourself. Learn from somebody else's. And my wife and I both said this, people have a sin not to teach them what to do, we just teach them what not to do. We have been through a lot of things ourselves, so, but we are very happy to be here. This is our last session. How many know David Gibbs? David Gibbs, and some of you do. Probably the leading attorney in Christian law here in America. David Gibbs made this statement, no one can argue like married people can argue. You know why? Because we know each other's buttons. We know exactly what buttons to push. And so you have two people living together, two be one. That's difficult. I always tell a man, well, she pushes my buttons. Real men don't have buttons. And they just don't. No one controls me but me, myself. And so we have to kind of watch the same. But Brother Gibbs is pretty wise in that statement. I like the statement, either listen to your spouse, or you listen to your pastor, or you will listen to a lawyer. And they'll tell you exactly how to divide things up. So we take pride in our church. We don't want any divorces, any breaking ups. And so we like having these times together. It works out very, very well. I do want to thank Pastor and Mrs. Pastor. And I literally known Faith all of her life long. Her dad and I are very good friends. And we just texted us last week. And we're trying to get together. So I know Mike and Verna Ray. They've been to our house. I've been to their house. And so we have enjoyed our families growing up together all the way through this journey, and we certainly appreciate the family. But I appreciate the pastors investing in you. I don't know if there's a cost to this, whatever, maybe a few bucks for meals or whatever, but for a pastor to set aside a day of ministry just to cater to married people, really just to cater to your marriage, says a lot about the pastor. He cares more about who you are than just what you get done. I admire that. I appreciate it. And he's a young man. And so if you haven't so far or whatever, make sure you just stop by and say thank you to him. That'd be great. I do want to say one more thing in introduction. I am looking forward to tomorrow being in church, Sunday school, then Sunday morning and Sunday night. And if you have the chance to be there, I would advise you to be there. Sometimes we get busy. I got some stuff done on Saturday. I can't make it Sunday. No, we added this one. We don't take away and subtract. We added this one to it. And so I just really... I believe you'd be in church tomorrow. I want to be a help to you. And last thing before I start is I would think that everyone in this room is saved. Saved. Saved from hell, going to heaven. But I wouldn't bet on it. Jesus had 12, and one wasn't saved. He watched him walk on water, raised the dead. I'm not going to preach a message about salvation. If you're here, you've already heard it. Maybe you've already received it. Sylvia Warren comes to my mind. She was 68 years of age. I gave the invitation to my church. And she always goes like this. She never raised her hand. One day I visited her house. She goes, Pastor, you ever notice I raise my hand like this? I say, yeah. She goes, I'm not saved. So I was in Vacation Bible School, and they preached the message, and about 11 of us went down there, and they dealt with all of them, but I was the last one then. No one dealt with me. On that Sunday morning, they had us all stand up and said, these are the kids you got to say. They read our names off. But no one talked to me. And I was so embarrassed, I never told anybody. And for all these years, it's been bothering me, so I never raised my hand. I got to lead Sylvia Warren to the Lord. It was amazing. She got baptized that Sunday. And she goes, I'm glad this is finally settled. This is going to sound horrible. I'm not a real big church man. I mean, like denomination. Do you know that Adam wasn't a Baptist? Eve was not a Pentecostal. Mary was not a Catholic. Because they hadn't been invented yet. In Jesus' days, there weren't all those things. Man made all those things up. Man made the Baptist movement. Man made the Catholic movement. Man made the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Church of Christ, Assembly of God. Man made all those. Not God. God just made people. And God wants to connect. Here's one of my favorite verses. Come now, let us reason together. Let your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I want you to listen to this. God says, hey, let's talk about it. Let's talk about eternity. You really think you can get eternity by being good? You think you can get eternity in a beautiful, perfect place called heaven by being good? Try that at Motel 6. Go down to Motel 6. I want a room. That'll be $65. No, I'm good. I live a good life. I should get a free room. You ain't getting a free room. You're not going to get to heaven either by being good. I like what God said. Let's just talk about it. I'm not going to believe a man. I'm not going to believe a religion. I'm not going to believe a preacher. I mean it. I will believe God. I like what he said. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For my Father's house are many mansions. Before not so, I tell you so. But where I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there may ye be also. And then they said, the 12 disciples said, Jesus, we know not the way. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man come to the Father but by me. So let me just ask the question for you. Do I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I were to die today, I would go to heaven? I would not die and go to hell. I made that decision when I was 15 years of age. I was startled. A man preached on hell. I got saved for one reason. I did not want to die and go to hell. I did not know I got to go to heaven. That was a bonus. I did not know my sins were forgiven. That was a bonus. I did not know my guilt would be lifted. I just didn't want to simply die and go to hell forever and ever. And so if you're here today, I hope that you'll understand, talk to a preacher, a fellow member at the table. I'm sure they can tell you about this wonderful thing called heaven. I think my wife, thank you for Mrs. Real Thing for speaking, and I'm sure I just see all the glowing faces of these ladies out there. Husbands, we got new wives already. There you go. There you go. Trade the old one in, got the new one here. We're going to be okay. We are going to get. There's a newlywed couple. They just got married. They're going to their honeymoon suite and things like that. And so they got out of the car. They're walking up there. And the girl says this. Honey, I'm a little embarrassed. I'm a little embarrassed. Can we not act like we just got married? He goes, honey, no, can we just act like we're married? Because we are. We're married. He says, you want to act like we're married? She says, yeah, let's act like we're married. He goes, okay, get your own luggage. I'll go ahead and get the door, okay? So there you go. I'll do that. Don't do that today, guys. Don't do that today. That's not really going to work, okay? One more from last night. There's major things you need to talk about in these sessions, finances and children, outside influence, intimacy, all this stuff. And a psychological man doing some studies was talking about people who have regular intimacy are happier people. And so he was invited to a large conference just like this right here. Had 500 couples, 1,000 people there. And so the man, the host, gave him a little time. He said, I'm doing a survey just to find out because I just believe that people who have regular intimacy are happy people. And he said, so if you don't mind, he's going to ask for your help. How many here have intimacy at least twice a week? And several hands went up. And he looked out there and like, wow. They're smiling. Look at them smiling. That's good, they're smiling. He said, okay, let me ask you a question. How many here have had intimacy maybe once a week? And there's another hands went up. And they're smiling. He said, how about once a month? And there's some hands, you know, just kind of went up like this, kind of a little sheepishly like, yeah. But they weren't smiling. He said, how about, you know, every 2 months? There's still some hands going up, and they weren't smiling. They got facetious. He goes, how about once a year? And the guy in the back, hands like this right here. Yeah. He goes, what? He goes, once a year, why are you so happy? Today's the day. I thought, that guy had it right there, buddy. That guy had it. Good. Well, we talked about building a classic marriage, building a classic car, and had to build it from the ground up. And you have to rebuild. Most classics are always rebuilt. May I say this, through the process of marriage and my wife and I's life, from where we started, we had no idea, literally, how to be married. I had no conceptual idea, never read a book, never went to a class. My wife, the same thing. We had zero knowledge about being married. In fact, my wife will tell you, she has a mother who was primarily German. That mother of hers ran the home, literally ran it all, ran her husband. And so my wife thought the way to run the marriage is to run the husband. She goes, it was very quickly I found that did not work in my home. And like when you say jump and how high, I did not jump. And I looked at her, she looked at me, and we thought, we better really work this thing through. And so we had to take some knowledge ourselves to rebuild that marriage that would work for us. I can say this, probably the greatest asset you have about rebuilding a marriage, is that a passion? You have to want it. Can I just say this? I don't want an average marriage. I don't. I don't want to be an average person. That's not wrong to say. I think averageness is a slap in God's face. To live in mediocrity, to live in complacency. We have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as our example. We have the book that has all the answers. We live in the greatest country on the face of this earth. We get the privilege of being married to someone who loves us. We love them. I mean, we should live on top. We should live on top, no doubt about it. So to have passion, to have this passion. In fact, a man, Gary Chapman, wrote a book about this. And he called it The Five Languages of Love. I believe many of you would be maybe familiar with that book. If you are not familiar with that book, I would definitely tell you to purchase that book and to help your marriage. Gary Chapman talked about the five languages of love. All right, may I say this? There's probably 50 or 60, but he just gave five basic languages of love. Number one, I'll list them for you. Number one, that very sense of giving gifts. When you give a gift to somebody, it's the way to say, hey, I love you. For God so loved the world that he gave. And so we understand that giving is maybe a gift, a way to show our love. Number two would be time. If you give me some time, that means you care about me. I can say this for your church group. When you walk through these hallways and it's busy, and this is Southern California, this is Long Beach, and we got busy schedules, always take the time to acknowledge one another. Greeting goes a far way. Greeting says that you are important enough that I'm going to stop and go ahead and to address you. Hello, how you doing? Hey, good to see you. How are you doing today? Hey, good to see you today. Hey, buddy, put it right there. And when you do shake someone's hand, you're saying to them, it's okay, I'm accepting it, I'm befriending, I'm welcoming. Greetings go a long way. They're mentioned all the way through the Bible. Greet one another, this salutation here and this greeting here. And so just to show that you're taking the time to show for someone else. Words of affirmation. So you have a gift, you have time, you have words of affirmation. People like to hear, I love you. I love you. Now, I said last night, it means more to my wife to hear, I love you, than when she tells me, I love you. But when she tells me I'm a good guy, I'm a hard worker, I'm all ears, all right? But people like words of affirmation. Next, acts of kindness. Acts of kindness. I don't know what your love language is, but an act of kindness. Always doing nice things one for another. And then the one very thing of that of touch. And I'm not just talking about intimacy, it's just that of touch. So Gary Chapman was great in teaching the five languages of love. I'm going to go back through those just a moment and just talk about those. I think about that of touch. Touch, not intimacy, just touch. Mr. Reed, you might come up here again. Just touch. Do you know something? Holding hands goes a long way. I'm not sure who passed away years and years and years ago, but it was said at the service, hold hands while you can. If I'm going through an airport, walking through the mall, guys, it's always best to hold your wife's hand in the mall. She'll spend less money. That's why. Way to go, guys. People ask, what would you do if your wife left you? I would just go with her. That's what I would do. So I'm not going to make it on my own. You know, holding hands goes a long way. It goes a long way. And you only have a chance to do it. You remember when you couldn't wait to hold hands? You couldn't wait. Now watch this. This is touching. The Bible says it is good for a man not to touch a woman, but rather to avoid fornication. Because God knew that when you touch a woman, oh, this is good. I'm liking this. You can stay up there the whole time. How's this sound? Yep, there you go. Watch this. Hold hands. Touch. Do you know just an arm around taking care of someone goes a long way? Do you know it's just a kind little act? People say, I always open the door for my, always open the door, my wife walks through. And people would go, aww. Girls, make that sound, ready? Aww. Guys, don't you ever make that sound. God, have a hormone check if you make that sound, okay? Oh. So I open the door for my wife, and the next host comes. They go, that was so nice. That was you're so nice. I said, it beats alimony. That's what that does right there, okay? Just open that door. Touch goes a long way. Just slow down. Touch. It's okay. It's okay to come home. Slow down. We're allowed to do this now. We're married. We're allowed to do this. And they got those newer arrangements, all the recliners to watch your TV, things like they got the cup holders in the middle. No. I mean, I spent all my life getting close to my own, no cup holder between us, you know. I like when you sit in the car, she's all the way over here. I'm the driver, so she doesn't sit there. Who moves? She does, right? So try to pull over here. There's just something about touch. Touch. May I say this? It is one of the gifts. My wife already knows this story. Remember Wally Davis? Wally Davis is a great evangelist. He died early from pancreatic cancer. He was down in the Bay Area. I was traveling down. I was visiting Wally. We shared the same anniversary date. And we take Shirley and Wally out all the time. He's now in the last stages of this pancreatic cancer. I stopped down in the Bay Area and went to the hospital where he was. I remember getting up the elevator. I got out of the elevator, and there was Shirley, his wife, all by herself. Shirley walked up. I started to read like this, and she just put her arms, and she just hung there. Just hung there. Gave me a hug. And she started weeping. It's probably 10 years later, she remarried, she's in Dayton, Ohio. I'm preaching in Dayton, Ohio. We're talking, she goes, Brother Rule, she goes, probably one of the best memories I have is when you got out of the elevator, I just lost it. I wasn't appropriate. I just needed a hug. Wasn't anything weird, nothing like that. She remembered that. Some people need touch. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's what we need. I enjoy holding hands. I enjoy putting my arm around my wife. I enjoy the hugging part. It's a gift. Kyle was born with it. My son Jesse has the same love language. Jesse's 10 years of age. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm watching TV, ball game. Jesse sits down. Right next to me, like touching me. It's summertime. It's hot. And so I just scoot over a little bit. Then Jesse scoots over to him, going, this is going to kill me, you know. Then he puts his leg over my leg. I'm like, what is this kid doing, you know? So I just kind of take his leg and move it away. And then I remember I went and got someone out of the refrigerator. I came back, he's laying on the floor. I'm walking by, he reaches down and kind of grabs my ankle and things like that. And I didn't know it. Jesse just liked that touch. Jesse wanted close to be dad. I thought I was blown. Your wife may need that sense of touch. Maybe better words than you could ever say. She just needs you to hold her. She doesn't want counsel. She wants comfort. Touch goes a long way. Acts of kindness. I don't know if you do get the car door for your wife. I don't know if you help her put her coat on, her jacket on, her shawl. Help put her teeth in. I have no idea where you are, saves her life, you know? Help put his wig on for the guy. I don't know. Sorry. Acts of kindness. You used to do it. You used to do it. When you got married, we did all kinds of acts of kindness. And then I think about just giving. Let me go to giving here for a minute. About giving. Giving is so critical in a classic marriage. John 3:16, 25 words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus Christ, the greatest giver of all time, gave because he loved. May I say this, giving is universal. My wife and I are able to travel to Korea and worked in a missions conference here, so we're in Korea. And we're on a large airplane, and there's about eight of us couples there going down their pastors, helping them out. And got there and landed. I looked out the window, and they had this entourage welcoming us. Man, woman, man, woman, man. They're all dressed to the hilt. I mean, nice suits and ties, ladies and dresses. And they all had this bouquet of flowers. I thought, this is awesome. They're going to give flowers to my wife. This is awesome. Got down to the steps, and they came up, and they bow. The lower they bow, the more they esteem you. But they always keep their head up, so they bow this way. And there they come with the flowers. I was the next one. And they gave them to me, not to her. They gave them to me. I thought, this is great. I'll give them to my wife. She'll think I'm a good guy, you know. And but what happened? A gift meant we appreciate you. Thank you for coming. Thanks for coming to Korea and helping us. The same trip, we went to Philippines. I went to the Philippines and got off a plane there, and we had about 1,000 kids trying to find our luggage and help us, you know. And then all of a sudden, they awarded me with a nice plaque, hand-carved. Hand-carved, had Pastor on it, and it's beautiful, just beautiful. All the way on the other side of the world, but hey, Pastor, thank you for coming. We love you helping us. And they gave a gift. They gave a gift. Can I ask you, do you like gifts? Are gifts important? So I'll be right up front. Gifts is not my love language. I don't need gifts. I'm okay. If I wanted something, I need it, I just go out and buy it. Gifts are not big to me. Now, I got a lot of other love languages, but gifts are not one, okay? So can I ask you a question? Are you a good giver, though? Are you a good giver? Here's two words. Are you lavish or cheap? Now, don't look at each other right now, okay? But gifts is universal. Are you lavish or are you cheap? All right? Do you share? My wife and I are totally opposite, okay? Like, when I buy my food at the restaurant, I want to eat my food. Amen to that, men? All of my food, all right? Because that's how much I wanted, so I ordered it, right? Can I have a bite of yours? You got yours on your plate. I got mine on my plate. I just want to know you got yours. But I'm going to taste it. Well, you should have ordered it then, okay? Well, I got mine right here, okay? Do you share? No, I don't. I just buy enough. There, okay. You ever said this? I never knew what to give him. I never know what to give him. I don't want to buy for her. Okay, let's talk about it. Ready? Get your pen and paper out. Ready to go? Pen and paper out. You're going to do this, you have to share each other. So you got your pen and paper? Here, the next little session, right? Write down these three questions for each other. Write down these three questions for each other. This is more important than the game that you just played, okay? You ready to go? Number one, name a gift that you were given by your spouse that means a lot to you. Name a gift that you're given by your spouse that means a lot to you. My daughters got together and bought me an acrylic plaque. Said the best gift I had in my life came from God. I call it Dad. I still have that up there. Boy, they can never buy me a better gift than that. I have gifts that my wife has given me, all right? So number one, name a gift that your mate has given you that you really appreciate. Number two, name two inexpensive gifts that you like to receive regularly. It's okay. It's an act of love. I'm showing my love. I'm giving you something. It may be like, wow, I know my wife likes getting her nails done. It might be $30, $40, maybe down here, I don't know. And to have a fill done, or fill done a little bit more, okay? How do you know this stuff? I do know this stuff, okay? So maybe it gives it. Maybe he would like a Starbucks. Maybe like a free car wash car that you run it through and they do something for him. What is maybe one or two inexpensive gifts that you could give and that to kind of keep your marriage going, all right? Number one, name a gift that you greatly appreciate that has been given to you. Number two, name two inexpensive gifts you like to receive maybe on a regular basis. Number three, name one gift that you would covet. Now, I'm not trying to be, you know, anti-spiritual. What's one gift? I'd love to have this. I'd love to have this. Name one gift. Maybe he just doesn't know. Maybe she doesn't know. My wife is from Norway, her parents are, or her grandparents are. I think she would like to have a Norwegian trip one day. That'd be a lavish trip. Maybe Europe do that. That'd be a big, big thing. We have to plan years for that and save for it. Maybe it'd be an addition on the house. Maybe this is a big gift. But name one gift that you would, wow, I really, really like to have this. The last one, do you like to have gifts in private or public? Do you like to have gifts in private or public? I'm reading through them one last time. Name one gift that you really appreciate your spouse gave you. Number two, name two inexpensive gifts you'd like to receive on a regular basis. Number three, name a gift you would covet. It's okay to do it. Number three, do you like gifts given in private or in public? It is 11:29. We're going to be 2 minutes. This is an easy one. 2 minutes, right? 2 minutes. Write down your answers. I'll come back up here and we'll figure out what you said. Okay, two minutes. Did you write these questions down? Okay, I know it's a quick one. Okay, there you go. So, name a gift that she has given you that you really appreciate. I've already mentioned that I'm just not a big gift person. I'm just not. That's definitely not my love language. And so, I was having a hard time answering questions. But I'm from the state of Ohio. And so, my wife bought me tickets to the Ohio State game that I got to go there with her. These were tickets on the 50-yard line, row number 12. And so we got to see the game. It was amazing. Got to stay over. And so that was definitely a gift that I enjoyed very, very much. We were out someplace, and on the way home, my wife loves amusement parks. She just loves amusement parks. She is a roller coaster junkie. And she waits for the front row every time. I don't know why. She closes her eyes the whole ride, but that's okay. But we have been on nearly every roller coaster here in America, from the East Coast and down South and West Coast. And those are gifts we enjoy, okay? Name me a gift that you greatly enjoy that your spouse gave you. Raise your hand. Yep. The Chargers lady. Again, the bigger the Chargers game. This is a truthful lady. She mentioned it yesterday, and she's there today. Good. This table, yes? The third wedding ring? No, upgrade it. Okay, and some people add on extra bands to it, things like that. So there you go. You got what you wanted. Good. Yes. Yeah, a circular thing that goes on your ring. I think she sold all of us. I think she really likes the ring, you know. Good. Amen. Good job. Way to go, buddy. Hey, anybody comes up, just say, can I see your ring, please? I want to look at that ring. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right. Someone else. Gift. Fred?
Well,
Well, probably won't be in Chicago, that's for sure. Good, I'm glad here. Super Bowl tickets, way to go. Yes, sir. When she said yes at the altar. We always like a romantic in the crowd, okay? There you go. You're probably in trouble. You just said that to get yourself out of trouble. You've been bombing all the gays, man. I got to get gagging, be good graces, right? One more? Some gift you really appreciate? All right? Nope? Okay. Name two inexpensive gifts. All right? Let's go with the men first. Name an inexpensive gift. You kind of like to have your wife buy for you. Any men with that? Yeah, go ahead.
I love hats.
Love hats? There you go. Inexpensive hat. There you go. All right. Yes, sir? Shoes and clothes and good. Hey, you can go for the hill. You got the ring for her. You can go for ask for anything you want. That'd be good. All right. Anybody else? Yes, sir. All right. The T-shirt. I saw the T-shirt. Good. Something a little gift you like to have. Starbucks every day or something. Yes. Nuts. Somebody said nuts. Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead. She don't have to stand in line to get them. I'm just going to every place. Hey, if you fail to get a gift for Valentine's Day today with all these little shops out here, there's something wrong with you, I guarantee it. So, yes, sir? Okay, good. Good. Pickles? If the nut man and the pickle man is just probably best friends forever, okay? Yes, sir. Oh, there you go. There you go. Ladies, how about you? Any expensive gifts you like to receive regularly? Ladies, yes. Oh, just a cup of love every morning. Good. Yes? Pedicure, manicure. Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're having some silent tables here. So, yes, yes, ma'am. You'll see Pastor Eli after the sessions. He'll help you the best he can, okay? He'll help you. Yes, ma'am? Do you have your hand? What? Gifts? No? I thought I saw a hand. Yes, right back here. Oh, massages? Yeah? Foot massages? Oh, he gives it, all right? Wow. Hey, you got it off cheap, buddy. You don't have to buy it, all right? You got it off cheap, all right? Any other inexpensive gift you'd like to receive, right? Yes? I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you. Yeah, you got it. You got it. Yeah. I don't know if I want to go to the one thing you covet. We'll let that go. How many like gifts in private? How many like gifts in private? All right. How many like gifts in public? All right. Yep. Good. Look. Watch this. When your lady gives you a gift, you want everyone to see that thing. That's good. All right. Building a classic. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Can you hand me a wrench? Can you hand me a wrench?" In every relationship in marriage, there is a domestic part of it. There's the domestic part, all right? Now I'm going to ask some questions here. Can you help me out a little bit? Can you work me a little bit? And Jesus said the greatest of these is the servant. There are some things we can do on our own, yet there are some things we cannot do. When Moses led the people out of Egypt, he said we're going to the promised land, a land that flowed with what? One more time, with what? Somebody had to milk the cows. Somebody had to milk the cows. Now there's plenty of milk there, there's plenty of honey there, but somebody had to milk the cows. And milking cows is not fun. It's a lot of hard work. And it's cold, and it's early, and there's cows, and it's kicking, and the smell, but somebody's got to milk the cows. Somebody's got to milk the cows. And so watch this, as you do these things, a servant makes things happen. Jesus Christ came to Lazarus. He went to the tomb. He's going to raise Lazarus out of the dead. He says, gentlemen, move the stone away. Move the stone away. Now, Jesus, if he can raise the dead, Jesus can move a stone. But he wants man to do what man can do so God can do what man cannot do. So every part of our Christian life, watch this, man has our part. Watch it, be a doer is the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If a man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, watch this, it just doesn't work. And so it says God wants us to be doers. There's a battle in the Old Testament. and the Amorites against the Israelites, and they're going to come and get them. And God said, let the water flow out there. Let the water flow. There's no water there. He said, go dig some trenches. They said, what? Dig some trenches. What? Dig some trenches. So they dug some trenches. And sure enough, God filled them with water. When the Moabites came over the hilltop, it looked like red, like the blood of everything. They lost the battle. Somebody had to dig the ditches. Somebody had to milk the cows. Somebody had to move the stone away. Somebody has to be the one that is a servant, all right? Need a little help? Do you need a little help in your marriage? Are you, can I ask you, I always like asking, are you a good helper? If you see your wife struggling, I love it. I'm saying we have a family room that sits down here, a bunch of glass windows up here, fireplace. I'm down there sitting down there. My wife's up here in the kitchen. And I hear this word, honey. I like that one. Honey. How many men know what tone means? Oh, boy, right? Honey. That's not good, okay? That's not good. That's when you run out the back. Honey. Honey. And my ears perk up like, yes, yes. And she goes, honey, I can't get this jar open. Oh, okay. I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm still sitting down. I get up. My cape comes on the top. The S comes out of my chest. I'm ready to go. I run to the kitchen. I grab the jar from her. Can I just help out? Women, just leave it alone, okay? Don't be taking some knife and dinting it up things like, you're making it harder on us, okay? So just let it, I said, just give me the jar. She gives me the jar. I take the jar. I always turn away. I always turn away. I got to make sure I can open up to this bad boy, okay, first. sure enough, I get out. I got that jar, and I'm like, ta-da! Here you go. Look at that. And she goes, oh, thank you, thank you. I'm glad to help. I feel so good when that happens. In fact, I went into my kitchen. I tied every jar in my whole kitchen like this, right, just so I can feel good about it, okay? I want to be the helper. I want to be there to help her out, okay? So, can I ask you a question? One little lab here. We got to hustle up here, right? I can't get him to do anything anymore. I don't know what she does all day. I can't get her to do anything. Okay, let's fix that. Let's just talk about it. Number one, write it down. You ready to go? We have this little common session. If there's one area that I wish my mate would help me in, it'd be this area. If there'd be one area that my mate could really help, I need help in this area. When my wife and I had children, I went to Bible college, and my wife was at home rearing the children. I was at Bible college. I got home for 40 minutes. I had to leave in time to make it work, so I was gone from early in the morning to late at night, came home and studied. My wife was phenomenal, phenomenal. But boy, she scheduled time on Saturday. She goes, I've got a page to quit. I've got to ask you, how do we deal with this with my son? How do we deal with this with both boys? How do we deal with this? We have this coming. And boy, she needed my help rearing our boys at a young age when I was gone from the house. So name one area that I could really use help. Number two, I want you to look up here for this, right? Number two. Is there a gender flap in your marriage? Is there a gender flap? You know, I could really use help with the dishes. No, I don't do dishes. I don't vacuum. That's for women. Guys don't do that. Oh, there's a gender flap. I was talking to a young lady just the other day at Home Depot. She was in the tool department. She's probably about 25. I said, so how long have you worked here? Just about 5 years. I said, do you know tools well? She goes, yeah, I know them pretty well. I said, oh. I asked her, do you ever get the gender flap? She goes, what? I said, do you ever have guys come in here saying, what's a woman doing telling me about the tools I need to use? She goes, oh, yeah. I said, does it bother you? She goes, well, actually, I know my tools pretty well. But if they press it, yeah, it bothers me. I said, what do you do? She goes, I just send them down there to the wrong aisle, and I just walk away. They never know where they're going. I thought it was a great way to go, girl. Ladies, don't take out garbage. Don't wash the car. It's his job. His job is outside. My job is inside. It's just asking. I'm not telling you. Is there a gender flap about some of the things you have? Number three, number one, is there an area which I may help? I need help. Is there a gender flap too? Number three. Name two, this is good. Name two projects you'd like to see get done. Name a project you'd like to get done. Just one. Oh, yeah. I love the, it just comes out of us, doesn't it, right? It just comes out. There's a whole list here. And that list will be on both sides. Guys maybe not name as much because women are usually the home dwellers, so the more occurrence with it. But is there a project you'd like to see done? Now, I'm going to really help you this one here if you write this down. You look up, you'll do it. So in your home, watch this. Make a list of what you want done, and then name the name beside it who should do it. So you can name 20 things and put the names, and then compare your list. Watch this. We used to have dogs. We don't have dogs anymore. We don't have children anymore, and so we're not home enough. We travel too much. It's not fair to dogs or pets. We don't have pets. But if somebody said, I want a pet, I say, okay, who's going to take care of that pet? Because I'm not taking care of the pet. Mr. Who's not going to take care of that? So if you want a dog, you take care of the pet. You know what I found out? They don't want a dog. Because they don't take care of it. And that's fine with me. So literally, make a list. And then, an outside porch and a sitting room out there and maybe an umbrella and maybe a grill. Thing. Okay, well, who's going to take care of all this stuff? Well, so make a list, assign the name, number 3, and then redo your list. Because you're going to find out people want something, but they want no responsibilities, right? And this is going to be negative here, right? But you can put it down here. You know what servants do if you're a servant? Sometimes servants come up to your plate, and they take it away before you're done. You know, they just stand up, and they start, no one asked them to take the plates away. They start taking away, and it bothers the fire out of me. So sometimes servants are intrusive. Sometimes they're nosy. You ever somebody come up there and just like take the lint off your shoulder? I just want to slap with the fan. It's just like, that's a thing going on. I don't know how it happened, but I'm standing in my church and Mr. Kempton's looking at me. He's looking, we're talking to him. He just kept looking at me and looking at me like this right here. Then he reaches up and he grabs right here. I had no idea in my life. There was a rogue hair rolling out of the side of my ear. It was just like a little white thing. It bothered him. He grabbed the hair and it hurt. I thought, what are you doing? What are you doing? He just passed me and said, I don't care. Just tell me about it. I'll take care of it. Just get your hand. Oh, that's a little intrusive, okay? So can I ask you, what's it? This is a big one. I know it's a little negative, right? Is there something that annoys you that I can so easily fix? This is revealing, Mrs. Rule. We have bags. We take their groceries and put them in the car, right? And then we take the bags, unload the groceries. And where do you put those bags? In the garage. Not back in the car, but in the garage. 7 feet further, you can put them all the way back away. That would be something so easily she could take 7 steps from the trunk. Do you understand? What is something, a little thing, just a little thing, that maybe annoys you? That they didn't even know. Watch this. Look up here, and you can't rebuttal it. Well, you can just take them out there yourself. I don't care. You know, no, just if you're communicating and you want to bear it, it's just one little thing you do. We stayed overnight at my wife taught at Golden State last semester ago, and they had another guest in another guest room. This guy had a loud breathing problem. I mean, a very loud breathing problem. I can go to sleep in 7 seconds again, not her. She heard this breathing problem. It just annoyed her. Well, I don't blame her. Now, is that something I can easily fix? I like put a pillow over their head and things like that. So you got 2 minutes. We have to start. You got 2 minutes. Go ahead and finish up these, ask those questions. You got them? Here we go. I'll go through them one more time. If there's one area I can help out with, what would it be? I need help. Is there a gender flap? Name 2 projects you'd like to see get done, accomplished. Is there something I do annoying that bothers me? I can so easily stop, okay? That would be helpful. In other words, don't leave the clothes on the floor, gentlemen. Don't leave the toothpaste open at one end, things like that. What are some little things to do? All right, 2 minutes. We'll be right back. 2 minutes.
Is that perfect?
Do you guys live together? I don't know. Live in the same house? Okay, here we go. Did you find on the area that maybe you could help out a little bit that would be helpful? Anybody here can maybe voice what that would be? Yes, sir? Yeah. Keep them out of the kitchen, right? Yep. That's very good. We do a lot of hospitality, and my wife's very busy, and if I could just take care of the crowd, let her take care of the meal at that time. Good. Good request. Somebody else? The area where I could use a little help? That's a little self-incriminating there. No. Stay out of the kitchen. All right. Don't tell me how to cook, then don't tell me how to mow my lawn, right? So there's gender both ways there, right? And really make a list, assign it, and then remake your list, right? Here we go. Just going to finish up here. Here's the checklist, all right? Final touches on the classic car. I feel most loved when you do this. Can you write that down? I feel most loved when you do this. So this is your final checklist. You'll do this. This is homework. Take it home with you. I feel most loved when you do this. Ladies, I want you to write that to your husband. Husbands, I want you to write that to your wife. So you never have to say, well, I just don't feel loved anymore. Well, then tell her. See, I look at it. We're all mature adults here. Bible says, only by pride come the contention. Only by pride, it's a superlative. Only by pride cometh contentions, fighting, arguments. The only way these things start off is our pride. Let me reword that verse. Only when I am right and she is wrong come the contentions. That's what arguments are. I'm right, she's wrong. Only by pride cometh contentions. We don't want that. We want a classic marriage. So let's just talk about it. Let's just talk about it. Let's kind of find a meeting of the minds here. So I feel most loved when you do this. Number two, write a selfish dream letter that you like to have. We'll make it more. Write a selfish dream date. I wish my husband would take me out to a nice dinner and then walk around the park. And then maybe come home and cuddle by the fire and watch the movie. Great. Wonderful. Write it down. Write a selfish dream letter that you'd like to have happen. Here we go. Number three, last one. Please final check these areas. Number one, am I patient? On a scale of 1 to 5, am I patient? Number two, am I kind? Sometimes ladies can get a little snippety at home. Sometimes guys bring their work in and they're just upset. Do you know your attitude walks in the room before you do? Hey, watch out. Mom's in a mood today. Stay away. Hey, Dad's mad about something. Everyone sees it. So I want you to grade your spouse here. Are they patient on a scale of 1 to 10? Are they patient? Do they blow up? Do they throw off the, knock a wall, whatever? Number two, are you kind? I'm just talking about being kind. Be kind one to another, tender heart, or loving one another. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is long-suffering. So how are we doing in our love? Well, I love you. Well, if you're not kind, you don't really love her. No, I love her. Yeah, but you're telling her all the time, hurry, 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 you want to get it, let's go. Love is patient. Love is kind. Number three, how well do I listen? On a scale of 1 to 10, how well do I listen? Once again, you can't rebuttal these things. No, I do better than that. I'm not a zero. Come on, man. I'm not a zero. I listened to you last month one time, I remember. All right? How well do I listen? Scale of 1 to 10. Number four. Ready? Number one is, am I patient? Number two, am I kind? Number three, do I listen? Let's go through this again. Number one, am I what? Patient. Number two, am I? Number three, do I? Last one, look up here. Are you trustworthy? Can your spouse trust you? Your greatest credential is your credibility. If you say you're going to do something, then do it. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Do your children trust you? I didn't trust my parents. Heaven's not. Do you trust your spouse? Where is he? Why is he late? He's been late twice this week. Now remember, he's late twice. Like the same week last month. Who's with my, where's he at? Do you trust him? So just let's talk about it. Are you trustworthy? Last of all, just as an effect to all of these, if I could do something to improve, then help me. If I could do something to improve any of these areas, please help me. You've been great today. You really have. You've listened. I think myself, interaction. You know, we can have all these conferences. You can get in the car, go home, get busy, watch TV tonight, get ready for church tomorrow, and you're going to forget all about this. If you just take like two minutes, and actually talk about these in a session, maybe it'll spur something to say, hey, I got to work on this. Hey, I want to work on this. I didn't know you wanted that done. I didn't know that meant much to you. I didn't know you like this. I want you to feel in love. Let's have a classic marriage. Father, bless these dear folks here. I've loved it. I enjoy it.